Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
We were watching the game, and I said, that's it. I'm done. I'm up. I'm not doing it. We will not be going to spring training next year. I'm over. And then within like 5 minutes, I went into the bathroom, went into my closet, and came out in my underwear with a Red Sox cap on, drunk, and said to the crowd, no, you know what? I don't care. I will be back next year. I'll be back as many years as it takes.
Were you challenged by choreography?
I remember this. I had a pretty sizable role in My Fair Lady, and the only dancing that I was really called upon to do is in the Embassy Waltz. Mm-hmm. And it's a waltz. One, two, three. One, two, three. And the closer we got to showtime, the further back our director moved us on the stage, because it was like a big, big scene.
There had to be some Jack and Cokes going, because there was there are all sorts of memes and gifts or whatever the
fun.
Yes, yeah, it was fun.
Fun.
Yes, sir. Let's do this. He writes, Zhang, night. Then we earned before, the funniest one. He writes at the end of the game. This is my favorite.
Yes.
My favorite all night was, we earned it. That was funny.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Monday on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody wanted to come in here and talk about a very eventful weekend. But before we did that, I felt it necessary, just couldn't do the show and come in here normally without giving you a list of names today. It's another one of those weekends. And I think a lot of people have gotten so accustomed to it that we don't stop and pay attention. But I wanted to mention the list of the people that were killed in the synagogue shooting over the weekend in Pittsburgh. We have, among Jim Amato and lots of other wonderful listeners, we have a good fan base in the Pittsburgh area, and we do feel a kinship with that city, because we've had some wonderful people that have supported our show from there, and we also have stopped in Pittsburgh on our way out to Iowa, and it's just it's another moment, and I wanted to give you the names of the people that lost their lives just going to their house of worship. That's all they were doing. They're out there going to their house of worship. Joyce Feinberg, 75. Richard Gottfried, 65. Rose Malinger, 97 years old. Jerry Rabinowitz, 66 years old. Cecil Rosenthal, 59. David Rosenthal, Cecil's brother, 54. Bernice Simon, she was 84. Sylvan Simon, 86. Sylvan was the husband. Daniel Stein, 71. Melvin Wax, 88. And Irving Younger, 69. This is an interesting story, because I haven't heard a lot about it, comparatively, for other mass horrible murders by cowards. I just wanted to let you know, on behalf of everybody here at the Mike O'Mara Show, that I think it's important for our Jewish friends who listen to the show to know that the overwhelming majority of Americans mourn for you. The overwhelming majority of Americans stand in solidarity with all of our Jewish brothers and sisters. The overwhelming majority of Americans are aware of the problem, and it's racism, and it's anti-Semitism, and it's hate speech, and no matter where we are right now in our history, it will not stand. Of that, I have absolutely no doubt, because we are better than this, and I really, really believe that. I believe that with every fiber of my being, and that's why I felt it was necessary to mention the names of the people that we lost. Most of them elderly, and all of them doing one thing, being good people and going to their house of worship. And I could read the bios, and you would be amazed at what great people they were. And we lost them. So remember, that's the one thing I wanted to tell everybody. We are better than this. May God comfort you among the other mourners of Zion and Jerusalem. And now just a couple seconds of silence for the people we lost.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., in the Podcast Village Studios. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide radio show and podcast with a loyal following of listeners who get it. And if you are listening right now, you do too. TMOS is always ready to hear from you with our weekly mailbag, our wide open Wednesday phone calls. Our show is an interactive experience, and we love our audience participation. So please let us hear from you all over the world. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now, and we are delighted to have you. I'm going to find the sponsor. I know I am. It's around here someplace. Lots going on this morning, everybody.
Hold on. We got it.
I'm doing
it. I'm dying.
Are you done? It's great to good week to get sick. That's good.
Why do you think I chose to get sick, Mike?
Yeah, I know. Well, you're ours, man. It's
my hours. Let me tell you.
This part of the program brought to you by Alex Papp.
It's not
Alex Papp is the grand poobah of NorCal Realtors. True. We love him. And if you're in Northern California, Alex Papp loves you too. And he wants you to buy a home. Analysts predict that interest rates will rise by the end of the year. So right now is the best time to buy. Let Alexander Papp show you how. See what Papp has on tap. Alexander makes it easy, from finding your perfect home to writing an aggressive offer, working through the home inspections, and even finding you the best lender for your loan and pre-approval. Alexander Papp is rated 5 out of 5 stars on Zillow, Trulia, and Realtor.com. Stop looking at homes online. Give Alex a call on his personal cell phone, 916-276-2129, 916-276-2129. You can rap with Papp. Alexander Papp is licensed in the entire state, but focuses exclusively on Northern California, from Santa Cruz to Sausalito summer nights. I played
that
when I was a DJ. To Auburn, to Napa, and yes, Alex does know the way to San Jose. Plus, everywhere in between. So stop renting. Call Alex, the NorCal Realtor, today at 916-276-2129, BRE-019-86031. Prado Real Estate. It's a snap with Pat.
It is.
And do you happen to have dirty water around? Do you happen to have a dirty water line around?
Of course.
Yeah? All right. I just thought I'd bring it out. There it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations to the Boston Red Sox. Best team in history. Of the Red Sox, I believe it is. The Red Sox team, the best team in history. What a night. What a night.
You do my favorite thing where a DJ wears a hat over headphones.
Yeah,
like Shotgun Tom Kelly.
Yes, sorry. What a night. What a night. It doesn't get old. It's still fun.
Yeah.
It's still a lot of fun when you get right down to it. You're nervous. You're excited. You're thinking, God, are they going to blow it? This was... I think they kind of thumped him. They really did. But it was a very, very fun, up and down kind of moment with a 16 inning game that went till 3 o'clock in the morning. Saturday morning, the wee hours of the morning, and I was sitting there going, "Oh, we're all gonna lose it. It's just like the old days."
I read a statistic, like Mike. Did you know the entire 1939 World Series, the entire series, was shorter than Friday night's game?
Oh wow!
Because they did 4 games in like 2 hours each. Yeah,
truly amazing, and lots of fun. I will say, what does it say about my abnormal personality that as I'm watching the what turned out to be the last game of the World Series last night, that for maybe 2-3 innings, I was not thinking about the Red Sox or another world championship or my late father or my late mother or any of the team. I was thinking, where the hell is Larry King? Larry King, the marathon game on Friday night was too much for Larry. He was AWOL for
Saturday.
He was AWOL for Sunday's game.
Enough of this.
I'm not dealing with this anymore.
What about?
You go ahead. Yeah. Mary Hart was there.
Pat Sajak.
God love her. Pat Sajak. What is the deal? Hey, Pat. Are you, you know, it's every major championship?
Is
that the one
you're at? Is he not getting enough attention? The man's on wheel every night.
That's true.
Let's not pick on a Musker because I consider that man now my good luck charm.
Really?
No, I don't. No.
Well, he was instrumental in the Caps win, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course he is.
Because they had Wayne Newton in Las Vegas, and when they played here, we had Pat Sajak.
The difference between the Dodgers, God love them, and the Washington Capitals is the Washington Capitals chose to let Pat come out on the ice, which was foolish.
Chose to come on. Mike, they gave him the entire pre-show.
They gave him the pre-show, and I wasn't, you know. But you know what? It's sports, and a great day for Washington sports fans. The funniest post I got, because a guy knows my sports loyalties, he said, Champs win a champion. The Caps are champions. The Red Sox are champions. And now the Giants. Oh, never mind. Which was the funniest one. Guy knows my teams. They're all over the place. That's the way it goes. But great day for the Redskins, too.
Big win.
First place in the division. So lots of winning to go around. And just a lot of fun when your team wins and you get to watch your guys that you root for act like little kids on the field. It was a lot of fun watching.
How did it measure up to when they won in 04? I'm just curious.
Nothing will ever compare to that because, well, 04, if you remember, and I do because I remembered at every moment of it. 04, the massive deal in 04 was beating the Yankees
for
the division. That was the absolute biggest thing ever. Mm. And then it was anticlimactic to have to go out and beat St. Louis because they swept them in four games. This one was more up and down, all sorts of controversy, a little drama, and then throw in that marathon game, which there's nothing worse for baseball fans because you go sky high when your team's coming to the plate, you go down to the bottom when the other team's coming, and the home team has a decided advantage, and I think they hit a home run in the bottom of the 40th inning.
What
or whatever
time
the hell
did
it was.
The game end?
It was 3:30, wasn't it?
2:30 maybe. It was 3. Well, it had to be. It was midnight in L.A., so it had to be like 3:30.
After 3 on these, I actually have the end of the game. Here's the actual end of the game. And I believe Joe Buck even sounds tired.
Yes.
I believe you'll hear that.
Who could blame the dude, you know?
The 18th inning, Nathan Eovaldi has been terrific, wonderful, brilliant. Here's Max Muncy. Muncy flies one in the air to left center. Back at the wall, and it's gone! It's over! Muncy! A walk-off home run to win game 3!
He might as well have yelled, I'm going home!
That's a little boy in a darkened leather easy chair just sitting there looking at the screen going, yep, here it comes. Here it comes. This is it. There were moments. The thing about the Red Sox, they handily won every series that they played it, but they created the illusion of disaster.
That they were going to lose. Yeah.
Drama.
That things were going to... You heard about all this different stuff, so it's fun, and my wife gets extra credit last night because probably 6th, 7th inning or so, she's like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm like, all right, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll stay out here. Go ahead.
Just history here.
And then she came back. She came back, and that's when we made 70 attempts to take a selfie, and some of the funniest selfies you'll ever, because Carla is bone tired, and I went into the bedroom, and I got her little Red Sox hat, and I came out, and we're taking these selfies. I said, no. Can you approximate joy? Can you look like... And we did this prior to the end of the game.
Oh.
So we got happy.
Okay.
I broke my prime directive. I got happy, but I had a sense, right? 5-1. I had a sense. And I said,
and
you
also had a sense it was going to take a long time.
We had 20 different tries.
Said,
let me see it. No, I don't like that one. I said, Carla, it's just a joyous... It's going to enhance my zang. If you have a picture taken with me, it will enhance my zang, and it should be
classic cybermetrics.
So, yes,
It was there, and Oscar, obviously, you were up late. So when did you get sick? When did you begin to get ill?
Ooh, Friday.
Friday you go, that's good. You'll be fine. I've been fighting it
since then. But I was texting Mike to try to troll Mike.
Right.
He trolled me. Let me go get it.
And Mike, while you do that, I'm curious.
He was trolling me.
Did you save all of the outtakes of the selfies?
Yeah.
Because I think it would make a great flip book. It would almost be like a movie. You could print them all out.
I know we have a bunch of them. Let me just see. Okay. So let me begin with Oscar.
Game's 2-1.
Okay.
Right.
So the game, this is, okay. All right. So it's 2-1. Red Sox get two runs in the top of the first. Los Angeles comes back and gets a home run in the bottom. It's 2-1. It's right. Shaping up to be a battle royale.
A game, right. Yeah.
8:55 from Oscar Santana. Mike, do you have time for a quick call? Right away, he writes JK joke. Smooches.
That's so
I'll call
great.
You at halftime. So he still wants to continue the troll. See, he gets me, you know, I go,
what?
And then it's like, oh, joke. Smooches. I'll call you at halftime. And I'm like, you funny. Do you really need something?
And that's the brilliance of it, by leaving it vague.
Yeah.
Just leave it vague.
And then Oscar puts his dancing frog up, which is, you know, hello, my baby. Yeah. Hello, my honey. Yeah. Which is great.
Michigan J. Frog. Which, again, then, Mike, is of no help to you.
And then there had to be some Jack and Cokes going, because there was there are all sorts of memes and gifts or whatever the phrase.
Fun.
Yes, yeah, it was fun.
Fun.
Yes, sir. Let's do this. He writes, Zang, night, night. Then we earned. The funniest one he writes at the end of the game. This is my favorite.
Yes.
My favorite all night was, we earned it. That was funny. I got two night nights. So Zang, night, night, and then we earned it.
Is that when you said, do you really need something? He replies with the dancing frog, which is showing A, that he's listening, but B, no engagement, no answer.
He did write no, just thinking about you in the wind.
Okay.
And then he writes
okay,
the dancing
good.
Frog. But the funniest at the very end. This is after he's turned in early.
Yes.
But a lot of people found, my brother-in-law had like a 5:30 call this morning. So he had to, you know, he was trying to get some sleep to start his week. And everyone
is probably still worn out from the Friday night game. I mean, you can't just bounce back in a day.
It's tough.
My brother-in-law at 11:18, I had to watch. And, and so he was back. You just can't, when it's your team, you got to do that. And it was fun. It was fun for all Red Sox fans. Super, super duper. And I know there's a segment of people now with four championships in 15 years that, we're no longer the underdog people. It doesn't work that way.
Dynasty,
especially
Mike.
when you win 119 games, there's nothing. But you know what? Alex Cora is I mentioned him on social media, the manager from Puerto Rico. One of the only things he asked for in his initial contract was to get a plane load of supplies after Hurricane Maria to go down to Puerto Rico. And last night when he was in the post game, he said, the only thing I ask ownership is that I can take this trophy down to Puerto Rico. I mean, that's great.
That's
love the guy,
so
and the
cool.
players loved him. And it was just fun. It was fun, and a great World Series for Red Sox fans. Probably not for the rest of the country, but it's sports and
watch.
It works like that. It was super fun. I enjoyed myself.
And the really magic of Joe Buck after 18 innings saying, here he is again. Tired Joe Buck.
I am Joe Buck. But Joe Buck, better than that guy on TBS.
Yeah, you're right.
Better than that guy that was reading statistic after statistic. There at least was some engagement with John Smoltz being there and having that. I'm not going to throw those guys under the bus like the guys on TBS who were the absolute worst. And the word is humorless. You can't do this. It's grown men playing a little boy's game. I don't care what the sport is. You have to inject some humor in a 7-game series. If you don't do that, you're in the wrong racket. And those guys for TBS were, in my opinion, there was not one shred of humor. And when the humor was there, it was kind of forced, you used to wear that when you played. bottom of the eighth inning, here we go.
I got a taste of that yesterday, Mike. I was on 95 headed north yesterday and got to listen to a good portion of Redskins radio. Sonny had the day off because he doesn't do away games anymore. So it was... He doesn't.
Well, he's 102, so I mean, that's okay.
He
doesn't do that.
So it was Larry Michael in the driver's seat with Chris Cooley, and Chris Cooley's fine. But the problem with Larry is Larry in the driver's seat is responsible for sort of injecting the personality.
For those of you around the country, Larry Michael is the Redskins play-by-play announcer. And he's a guy that's one of these sportscasters.
Yes.
That actually, there. If you listen to sportscasters, most of them are really talented, bright guys. And then there are guys that you hear that feel as though they should force their voices to be lower. And when you don't possess a delightful baritone, sometimes it's very, very necessary to make your voice sound lower. It's obvious. It's one of the obvious things. And you do it from when you're a baby broadcaster, and then it becomes the way you talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just becomes
and
that
Larry
way.
Michael is a guy that does this right now. It's I guarantee you when he's broadcasting, his chin is down on his head. There we are, hey. And then he says, and the other thing he does is he says, washing Redskins.
Yep, and I was watching. That's the way
he
says. I was listening for
it. He does not
right.
say Washington Redskins, which, you know, has its own politically correct issue with it.
That's
anyway,
a separate issue.
He says, Washington Redskins.
Mm.
Time out, Washington Redskins. And it has driven me nuts forever. And he, you know, and also back in the day when Frank Herzog, the venerable American yes. University graduate who was the Redskins broadcaster for years and years and years, and Larry, you know, pulled off the great palace coup. Mm. You know, by the, am I the only one who thinks Dan Snyder is the handsomest man in sports? Yeah, hi. That's it.
So we find it on a local affiliate, and the first thing Kerry says to me in the car is, where's Sonny? And I said, I don't do away games anymore. I have the day off. And so Chris Cooley, who's very able, and he, I think he has a great sense of humor, he's so accustomed to just letting Larry read the commercials and not do anything else. At one point, Larry goes, that's courtesy of Safeway, the official supermarket of the Washington Redskins for all your tailgate and home gating needs. Hey, Chris, what's your favorite tailgate treat? And the reply was, huh? Because he was, he was so not expecting anything off
he's
script.
Eating a hot dog.
If it was Cooley, though, you know, even if he took the cue, steak? anyway, that's probably...
I'm at home. I'm not going up there. I'm not going.
How is Tanner Cooley? You still keep in touch with him?
Last I talked to Tanner was a couple years ago. And Tanner seemed to have Tanner that Cooley. Same joyful...
Motion picture director.
Kind, affable mentality. And, and I said, hey, man, remember that job I helped you get and then you totally punted? What about that? And then
was that the regulars?
Talking. No. I helped him get a real world job.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I had no idea.
I don't think it really worked out, unfortunately.
Yeah, kind of went sideways with that guy. You know,
I love him. Yeah. I still love him to this day.
Well, he's a nice guy. Yeah, he was a nice, happy-go-lucky kid. But he, you know, also, you know, you never didn't know that Chris Cooley was his brother.
Of course
ever.
Not.
Ever.
No.
Ever.
It's it probably really probably tough. To live that life in that shadow.
Well, it is extreme. I couldn't agree with you more. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in most cases, you probably want to keep it down to a low roar. But, you know, when they're playing, that's fun. If I had a brother and he was in professional football, I'd probably want the world.
Yeah.
But, yeah, right.
Tanner Cooley is the Kathy O'Mara of Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You've been trading my name forever. Not at all ever. Don't even know it. You know,
she denies talk
to her
you.
Yesterday. Talk to her yesterday.
How's she doing?
She's making the big trek out. You
That's
know,
right.
We were coordinating and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's this is it. You know, it's going to be. We'll talk about that in a second here. But it was just, you know, sports. If you don't have a chance to do it, it's really. I do tend to feel for people that aren't engaged with any particular pro team because it just. It's a wonderful time to kill a bunch of nights. You know, it's just great entertainment. That's the way I look at it now. It's great entertainment. And you think that, you know, you might not get, it might get old. Not really.
No.
Not really. You know, four championships in 15 years. But when you asked about 2004, even though it was a better end result, it was ultimately one of the most, I was so ridiculously overly emotionally involved in it because I took it so personally. It was and everybody did. So when we beat the Yankees in 2004, after being just stomped on for all those years, it was 80 years, lifetimes. People came and went. Death occurred. The Red Sox being a team of memory. Same thing with the Chicago Cubs. When you live your entire adult life,
and you're a fan and you go through all of the angst, it was just, it becomes so ridiculously important to you. Foolishly so.
Right.
I am more than aware that it's foolishly so. There were more, you could take, if there were body cams on everybody, and it was like that, the sci-fi where every moment is recorded.
Mm-hmm.
You could put together a comedy reel with my reactions to Red Sox losses that would have been fracturingly funny. You would have been, it would have been the one where Mike Krasny and his wife, Kathy, at the time, were in my home on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And the Red Sox gave up the game with Bill Buckner, the one that went between his eyes. And I had a button-down shirt on that I took at the top, pulled it open, like with no T-shirt on underneath, and all the buttons went everywhere. And Mike said, I think we're going to be going now. And, I was that distraught. You could see the one where I am up in the broadcast booth at Shea Stadium with the CEO of MS Broadcasting,
right,
Jeff Smullyan, and I'm drunk. And I put Jeff Smullyan, the president of our corporation, on the phone with my father. Okay, I'm not embellishing. I am not lying.
Oh, my God.
You would see that moment that I would have with that. You would have the moment at Marist College in 1978,
yes,
where we were one of two in my entire dorm hall. Was I lived in a house, like a fraternity house, but it wasn't. It was multiple different dorms. Mm-hmm. And the kid from, I think it was Methuen, Massachusetts, was another. I didn't even know the kid that well, but we were the only Red Sox fans. And when Bucky Dent hit the home run, the Yankee fans in the next dorm room over pounded on my wall so hard that the books fell off the bookshelf.
Oh, no, really?
Yes, you could see that. You could have the moment where Randall Dewey and his late father in the 2003 playoffs, when Aaron Boone hit the home run to beat the Red Sox in that playoff, the year before they would get their ultimate revenge, where this distinguished man with gray hair stood up in my bar and pointed at me and went, you. All of these moments happened. Then you would have 2004. And the moment where, I forgot what game it was. It was before they were down 3-0, by the way. And they came back to ultimately win 4-3 in the series. But there was a moment where the Yankees scored like 18 runs. And I said, that's it. I had a bottle. I remember the booze. It was Pinot Grigio. Carla and I were in Broad Run, Virginia, in a house that I was renting with another one of my failed marriages had gone awry. And I was, I was with Carla at that time. And we were watching the game. And I said, that's it. I'm done. I'm up. I'm not doing it. We will not be going to spring training next year. I'm over. And then within like 5 minutes, I went into the bathroom, went into my closet, and came out in my underwear with a Red Sox cap on, drunk, and said to Carl, "No, you know what? I don't care. I will be back next year. I'll be back as many years as it takes. I'll be back." And Lord knows, the worm turned at that moment, and they came back and won, and they won. So
what's more remarkable
Let me just say, as a fanboy,
yeah,
this little logo right here. Mm. If you have a team, if you're a young person, say you're in your 20s, even in your 30s, if you're flirting with the I encourage all my Detroit Lion listeners to say, just hang in there, because you know what? There's the chance. There's always the chance that it could happen, and it's special. It's really, really special, because when you go through that crap, it makes the ultimate victory sweeter. And then afterwards, it's still sweet. It's still sweet. So I've maintained it, not with the same fervor, not with the same passion, but definitely with the same kind of interest. And did the same thing with the Caps. And when it takes a long time to have a team, a long suffering is great. Long suffering works.
What is more remarkable? What is more astonishing? The fact that they came back and beat the Yankees in four straight games, or that Carla stayed with you after you came out in your underwear drunk?
Carla got it was such a big part of my life,
right,
that in 2003, that same year that they hit the home run, Carla and I had just started dating. I mean, we had our first date. Carla and my first date was in October of 2003.
Clyde's.
And I walked in and I said to her at Clyde's in Tyson Square, I said,
I don't want to be rude, but I I'm not going to be trying to ignore, but I'm going to be kind of peeking at this periodically. And I'm pointing to the Yankees Red Sox playoff game. And that was the best. Yeah. She, and then that following year was her first time coming down here to Florida. And we went to a spring training
game.
And
the lead, Mike. He said, I don't want to be rude, but they card pretty hard here. So how good is your fake?
I think what's great is that you remember the actual anniversary of the first date. You see, Oscar, what happens is he makes a mental note. He remembers anniversaries. That's what he does.
Yeah. I remember she was wearing a cream jacket, a cream like pants. She had beautiful, long, straight hair. And I walked into Clyde's and she was sitting at the bar early, which was incredible,
right?
Like love, like you would not believe, like beginning, like right at the beginning. And she had some big mook, of course, talking to her at the bar, and I kind of gave him the look like, okay, uglier man here, go.
Do you remember what you were wearing?
Huh?
Do you remember what you were wearing for the date?
Yeah, I was wearing a bowling shirt and my boxers. Good time had by all, everybody. Yeah. Fantastic time was had by all. Hey, we'll take a break, and when we come back, guess what?
What?
Hey, it's Vegas week.
Vegas week. Find out who the earliest departees are going to be. I know there are people going out there for the whole week.
Yeah.
That's very dangerous. Very dangerous. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Bara Show.
It's an exciting new era for the Mike O'Mara Show with three exciting new partners, Walmart, Macy's, and Target. With this new partnership, you can buy almost anything. Be like Mike and buy a really big stopwatch. Be like Rob and buy Birkenstocks. You can get a douche like Oscar. You can buy Japanese dolls like Pony. Be like Nikki Diamond and pick up a lock. Be like Dan and buy fans in bulk. You can buy children-sized clothing like Katie. Be like Paulie from Brooklyn and buy, I don't know, some garlic bread or something. Just click through the new link and get shopping now.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, in life, it's best to be smart.
Be smart.
Are you smart?
Yes.
Are you smart? Of course you are. Still, there are job sites out there that send you tons of the wrong resumes and make you sort through them. That's not smart. But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS to hire the right person. That's smart. You see, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Mm. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply, so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Write it down, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I had the weirdest dream last night. It was so weird.
Really?
My dream included Rob Spiewak and Steve Ducey.
Ooh.
That is a weird combination because our circles really don't intersect. We don't have a Venn diagram.
But it's a hacky dream.
It was a great dream. It's just I gave, in the dream, I give this wonderful emotional appeal at the beginning of the show, and then Rob plays for the 400th time the Rosemary's Baby clip. No, that's not how the dream went. No, this is how the dream
like a nightmare.
Yeah, a nightmare. That would be a nightmare. A great dream, a happy dream would be if you played the end of the World Series. But a man can hope. Anyway, so what happens is you and I are at Robert Trent Jones Golf Club,
RTJ,
where I used to play golf, and they've built a hotel there where they're having this golf tournament.
All right.
And they built it around where the club used to be. And I'm walking you through, and I said, oh, this is amazing. Now there are elevators there. And I walk you through, and we end up in the pro shop there. I said, and this is where the pro shop is.
Is
and
it
I'm
one
just
of those dreams where nothing makes sense, but in the dream it makes perfect sense? You don't even question it in the dream, right?
I have no idea what's going on, but it's just happening. And then it switches scenes, and I'm in an auditorium watching something that might be associated with a golf tournament.
Uh-huh.
And in front of me, I see Steve Ducey. And Steve Ducey reaches back to me with this NBC4 duffel bag and gives me an NBC4 duffel bag. And I'm like, thank you. And then it quick cuts to me talking to Steve Ducey, how from Fox and Friends, how we disagree, but I'd like to have him on Political Persuasions on the show. And he gives me that Ducey look, which is like, I don't know. I said, no, we'll be nice.
Does he remember you from the old days in the dream?
Well, we're buddies. That's why we're chatting.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, there not like
RTJ.
Real life.
Yeah.
And so it just, and then it ended and nothing really happened. It was just really, really weird.
That
was,
is because, really, you know, really when he first met Ducey, he was working at NBC4. So that explains the duffel bag.
Well, I mean, we used to be on his, he'd do lots of different little segments
also,
with the two fat disc jockeys.
You should know, Mike, this is weird. It's like you have a third eye. You know that third eye that people can see into the future or know what's going on behind the scenes? Yesterday, a lot of Political Persuasions behind the scenes work was being pushed to aggressive texter Chris Freitz.
The aggressive texter?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
So well, the idea that
I had a feeling we were going to have a good week on Political Persuasions.
Unless you talk to the guys about that sales deck and numbers, then the idea that you would dream about it is pretty shocking.
Well, it's weird that I would dream about the fact
PP.
That, you know, because I'm into it.
Oh,
I'm into that show. And if you haven't listened to Political
PP.
Persuasions, I really recommend it highly. So this is Vegas week.
We are going
to do our last show on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Oscar heads out Wednesday night. Rob, you leave, what, Thursday morning?
Thursday
or
at 10,
like
I believe, is my flight.
Thursday, 10 a.m. Yeah. And then I'll be out there later. It's kind of weird for especially a gambling destination. Your boy normally hops on that plane a little earlier.
By design, out there. Mike. Yeah. By design. Yeah.
Yes, I'm connecting through Houston, Houston, and then we're all going to be out there.
You're
going to
be, but know that
you're going to wake up this week a little sharper for Vegas.
You know,
than you
are
right
all
now.
Of us,
yeah.
All right, of us, getting a booster shot.
The fact that you're going to be there Thursday evening means that the flight will pay for itself by those less hours that you are in Las
Vegas.
Because
of my winning.
That's right.
Yes,
winning. No, but I'm looking forward to it, and we have very special. What?
I've set Shannon up for no fun until after Friday.
Friday is kind of going to be, I'm going to dine with the familia on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
And then we have a lot of work to do. So we have much work to do for you, the listener, so that you can have such a wonderful time.
You will love us.
Yes.
It is our job. And then after our work is completed and during our completion of our work for you, we will be also hyping the fact that we have another show Saturday that we're not going to really be involved with, but we will be there and hopefully we will have a walk-up business. You know, have you thought about how we generate last minute ticket sales for the 80s murder mystery?
By really pushing how much fun you're going to have at the mystery.
And so, also you
and
say you're not really
an
involved
hour show,
as you're talking about.
Although it would not be good form to just, you know, spend really any significant amount of time talking about it at our show. That's just like saying, you know, that's like people saying, buy a ticket to this hockey game, you're really going to like tomorrow night's hockey game.
We already have over 200 people that are going. So we're going to have a great time.
I need 300
more
people.
300 people or Mike's not going to have fun, and I agree with that.
No, and also, you know, when they see
I might not go. I might not go.
Oh, my
God.
No, you see, you have some lines in the show. You're part of the show.
I have lines?
Yes.
Lines.
Yes.
What, you mean live?
Yes.
Yes.
You're going to love it.
Live.
Live in front
We're
of all
those
people.
Talking about live. My favorite year. By the way, if you ever want to see one of the greatest acting moments in the history of film,
so great.
What you have to do is see Peter O'Toole in My Favorite Year. When they tell him that he's going to be on live television, he thought it was going to be recorded. He's a movie star, and he freaks out like, I've never seen. It's a primer on how to act. It's the
also,
my favorite years.
It might
a great
be
movie
it might
anyway.
Be the best movie ever made that is currently not in print. Do you know that if you want to see it now, you have to buy someone who makes you a DVD and sends it to you?
Really?
Yes, because I tried to buy it not a year ago, and you just can't get it.
Well, because
you can't get it. That's a treasure. That ought to be available for everybody.
I imagine it's not in demand. Now there is a movie.
And you're speaking right. Of things thank you, ass.
Hey, speaking of things who are
you're
not
right
in
about
demand,
that. Yes,
things that aren't in demand. Here's Oscar Santana,
Mike, a movie classic. The first time I've ever seen it, and Shannon as well. She thought Leonardo DiCaprio was in it, but on Sunday morning, as we laid sick in bed, Shannon says, I'm putting fried green tomatoes on. I said, whatever. And it's
Did you enjoy it?
It's first of all, Leo is not in it.
No, he's not.
No.
Not anywhere near it.
No. And then
not sure why you would think that.
Jessica Tandy is in it.
Yes. What
it's
a great
wonderful,
film.
It's
what
a fabulous
a great
movie.
Film.
Let me hit the ding for him. There we go. Yes, it's a wonderful.
Underrated. Haven't really heard about it in my entire life.
Why would it ever be underrated just because you haven't seen it? Everyone who's ever seen it loves it.
It's and not underrated.
Is that true?
Yes.
And I thought it was like a deep cut that I found.
You know who's overrated? The guy that's playing Freddie Mercury. He's overrated.
Oh, the guy on the Today Show?
I knew that movie would be.
From Mr. Robot?
That movie's
it looks
getting,
great.
No, it's getting like 55% reviews. It's getting people, half the people hate it. That's
it. I was hoping it would be great.
That's the guy that always has his mouth like this, right? Robbie, is it Robbie Malek? Is that the guy?
I think that's the name, yeah.
Robbie Malek. That's just, casting is everything. You know, and I looked at that guy. He just doesn't do it for me. He's just,
Jessica Tandy did it for me.
She's fantastic. You know who Jessica Tandy is?
Yes.
Who is she? What's her main
claim to fame?
The biggest claim. Everybody knows the movie.
Okay. Dennis the Menace's mom.
No.
Oh.
Let me give you the buzzer for that.
She owned Radio Shack, right?
No, that's a Tandy Corporation.
Tandy Corporation.
But it's not hers.
I'm teasing, of course.
Jessica Tandy.
Come on.
I don't know.
Oscar
baby. I will give you one cryptic hint.
Oh, my God.
Hint.
The Hangar Lady?
No, not Joan Crawford.
No. Think automobile.
Driving Miss Daisy.
There it is. That's all it took. Woo-hoo. Thank you.
Man,
that's wonderful.
You grow up with Univision.
Mike, that's another deep cut underrated movie that no one knows about. Driving Miss Daisy.
Fried Green Tomatoes, not a comedy.
A very heavy movie, but a very one. Well, I mean, I think it's one of the better films made.
I sat there with Shannon and I said, this is deep. And
did you cry?
She goes, where's Leo?
She really said that? Where's Leo DiCaprio?
Leo's not in this. I don't think he's ever good, unless he's a little kid with an arm with Stumpy.
I'm trying to think. Who is the, is it Kathy Bates?
Yes. I believe she's in it. And was it written by Fanny Flagg?
I think it was written by Fanny Flagg.
Was it a big movie when it came out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It had critical acclaim, and I think it did a really good box office.
I was like, they should play this on cable more often.
You're having
a fever dream.
I thought Fried Green Tomatoes is a comedy, and it had Leonardo DiCaprio in it.
All right, well, Rob sent him over a copy of Steel Magnolias, and we'll get him to watch the whole set.
His education continues.
The education of Oscar Santana, a new feature. And we'll take a break, come back with more fun and more thrills. I've got another little piece of news that I'll share with you. It's a special day here in Florida. We'll be right back.
Fantastic. Exciting. New. Does twice the work in half the time. It's Ponyboy 3000. If you have TMOS trouble, he'll fix it before you can say sugar glider. He solves every problem, retrieves any password, defrags any disk. It's Ponyboy 3000. He speaks. He moves at the speed of sound. The Ponyboy 3000, always ready to assist you. Ponyboy at MikeOMaraShow.com. Get ready for the fun.
Nowadays, you know, you get everything on demand. TV, car, rides, food, even our podcast. Yeah. You listen to us whenever it's convenient for you. So why are you still going to the post office when you can get postage on demand? With Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can do everything you do at the post office right from your desk, and you can do it 24/7 when it's convenient for you. The president could even do it at like 3:45 in the morning.
Anytime.
Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer, and your mailman picks it up. No lines, no parking hassles. Just click print mail, and you're done. It couldn't be easier. And you can create a Stamps.com account in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. We've used Stamps.com since the start of this podcast because it saves time, hassle, and money. Right now, use the TMOS code for a special offer that includes up to $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com and enter TMOS. You'll wonder how you got along without it. It's physical day today.
What is that?
I got a doctor. I got my annual physical where it's
you put the Q-tip, you know, where?
Carl and I are doing it like we've just come down from the mountains. Carl is getting hers at 3. I'm getting mine at 3:30, and we're just rolling in there.
Oh,
and
you're doing physicals in bulk.
Yeah.
We're doing bulk physicals.
Was there a Groupon or something?
I have no idea. Our doctor, Dr. Jason. By the way, our doctor is Dr. Jason Bishop.
Oh, he's good.
Sterling, Virginia.
Oh,
and yeah, it's going to be wonderful. Yeah, let's get physical. Hey, everybody, WAVA, how you doing? Hope you're having a fantastic day. Mr. O'Meara, turn your head to the left and cough, please. Hey, nice ball.
thank you, Dr. Jason Bishop.
Thank you very much. I don't know what I'm doing. So that's it. It's gonna be fun, and we'll have a good time. It'll be great.
How long since you've had one?
10 years, Rob.
Oh well, then yeah, you should have one every 10 years.
I haven't had a physical since all the hip stuff. So
okay.
A year or so, well over a year. Yeah.
Well, and it's probably weird for you because you've had so much stuff going on for the past 4 years.
I don't like it right now. Right? I, at all costs, like to avoid. It's a different story because my kid, you know, is 5 years old. Oh, and you bring him to the doctor.
Did you see? As a parent, it shocked me this morning when they were talking about the virus that is paralyzing kids.
Yeah, horrible, scary, terrifying. There's lots of hand washing. Lots of griblies out there. You always have to be aware. And listen, every kid is susceptible. I don't know which I'm more scared about. The kids with that virus that's floating around or there seems to be a resurgence with the Burmese Python South Florida story. I don't know if you saw it yesterday.
No.
Lots of people sent it to me talking about Hurricane Andrew, which apparently was the reason this happened. I don't know why they blame Hurricane Andrew, but apparently these critters, a lot of them were in Homestead, Florida, that got wiped out by the hurricane, and now they're talking about no matter how many rednecks they send into the swamps to kill them, that they breed quicker. That one female Burmese python can have 100 offspring per year, and they live for 15 years.
Oh.
And there's really no way to combat. They have no predators.
Did the flooding like relocate them so they're now happening in areas where they're not accustomed to?
No. Apparently, they're getting into the Everglades, which is a perfect ecosystem. Do you know they've been found as far north as Georgia, these Burmese pythons?
Wow.
That's how much they've taken to this area, right down near where I live right now. And they were talking about the populations of other species, raccoons, rabbits that have been decimated because there are no predators. And here's the scary part. This is the most scary part, that these Burmese pythons, because they have decimated their food supply because they are so successful.
Sure. And there's so many of them. Yeah.
That's when they tend to wander longer. So that's a little scary when you think about it.
So they're hangry.
They are hangry. How big do they get?
12 foot pythons. What?
Do they get to be 12 feet?
Yeah.
It's like anaconda, man.
They get to be massive.
Wow.
You know? Don't you read? Anyway, it's just it's something where
and kids. That's
they can
what's
they
scary.
Can swallow Cats, a deer yeah. or a small human.
Whoa.
They're capable of doing that. Yeah, these are Amazonian nasty Burma. They're in Burma. That's a scary place up over there. So it's crazy.
Turn up your volume. It's like you don't like talking to us.
It's up all the way. Okay. 23 feet.
Okay. 23 feet.
Hey, it sounds better than ever. Sounds like it was tested before the show.
It's probably your cable, Pony. Replug your cable. Poor Pony.
Pony, you all set for Las Vegas?
You bet your ass I am.
Oh, wow.
I got my python and everything.
He's bringing his
python.
His Burmese python. But it's a small one, Mike. It's only an 8-foot traveling python.
Right. Oscar, when do you arrive? Wednesday night?
Wednesday night. We touch down around 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be checking in. And by the way, Halloween in Vegas is, I think, amateur hour. Because
what do you mean?
Explain. Halloween here, which happened on Saturday night, as I heard all the kids stomping on cars in Georgetown, which was fun.
Did you sustain any damage this year?
I don't have a car. So
are you going to be traveling with more?
No, it's just Shannon and I.
Just Shannon, you.
You're just calling him more now?
When's Todd coming out?
Todd's flying in on Thursday.
Thursday. Great. Thursday. That is fantastic. Yeah, yeah. So my advice to you on Halloween night will be trick or treat right to your bed.
Yes.
That's what I suggest.
I told Shannon, I said, look.
Got to monitor the guys because we like to party.
This is a work trip.
Yes.
No, I mean, you're up Friday night. You're absolutely right. Well, I'm done Friday.
Yeah.
Carl and I are getting in an undisclosed Uber, going to an undisclosed place to do some undisclosed gambling. That's what we're going
to
do.
To lose an undisclosed amount of money.
And then we'll
the
look forward to
the morning.
Yeah.
Our meet and greet is going to be, if you want to say hi and press the flesh and do all that stuff, you got to do one thing. You got to go to that murder mystery on Saturday night. That's
murder.
It. We are not doing a meet and greet pre-show.
Murder.
We are not doing a meet and greet post-show. We are doing a meet and greet the night after. That's
murder.
How that is going to work. There will be no socializing with anyone until Saturday night.
These
that's
the rules.
Way it's going
that's
to
the
be.
Rule.
Mike said, hide in
rules.
Your room.
Yeah, absolutely.
As in and, Reno. Yeah. When we went downstairs and Mike was there playing.
I'll be walking.
Playing in public.
No, that was an oversight on my part because I was lazy and I didn't want to venture out into Reno, which I should have done, you know? What about you, Rob? What do you have scheduled?
Yelled at.
I have. I will probably have a meal. My father and his wife and my uncle Bruce, who I have not seen in probably 15
cousin
years.
Cousin Brucey?
No, Uncle Bruce from Florida is making the
really?
Trip. Yeah, he's coming in for the show. I've not seen him since my grandmother passed, which would have been like 15, 16 years ago. So I'm looking forward to seeing them. So I'll have a meal with them. That's the main
that's
thing
good.
I have planned.
Yeah, that's. And I'm glad family. I've got family coming out too. This
yeah.
is going to be a.
Wait, let me
Vegas
check my
seems
family.
To. Vegas seems
great
to attract.
Destination. Great destination.
No. Tatiana? No. Dad?
Any desire?
No.
But was there any desire on the part of your family to come out to Las Vegas?
If I'm being honest, I didn't invite him. Because if I go out there, then it's another distraction, Mike. All I need is the show to go well. That's all I
understand. I
care about.
I understand. Yeah. We're going to be ready for a great show.
I invited my father, but he said, Oscar, I'll be in Argentina.
Was it cool with me saying I can't do dinner Friday night with family because I've got to ready to go for
Mike,
a
it's
showtime,
your show.
You know?
Yeah.
It's your
I know,
show.
But
you
I
do
mean,
what
but
want.
I thought that was the prudent thing
yeah,
to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
To have like a lunchy lunch and then, and then get her done. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Gotta make sure everything, all the nooks and crannies are taken care of.
All the T's are crosses and all the I's are dotted.
Yes. All the
what
chips
time does the band,
are in the bowl.
What time does the band do its sound check?
They start at Wednesday.
Oh, by the way,
noon.
Are you going to have? Are you since we don't have a soundtrack? Are you going to have a soundtrack that people can jump, jive, and wail to in the Zappos Council Chambers Theater?
Pre
on Friday
and post
night?
Music. Yeah,
lots of conversation of how long they want the bar to be open. Questions about that. I said the longer the better for you guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Longer the better.
Yes.
That's the way it is.
Linger longer.
Isn't there? In fact, there are people right now that heard you say that. There is a bar.
Oh yes,
Fred. There is a bar. Thank you, Jesus.
And Mike,
thank you, Lord.
The prices are very reasonable.
Are they really? Well, great.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. The prices are amazing
for beers and mixed drinks. I was like, "Are you sure?" They're like, "We're sure." That's how good these people are.
Wow, it's great.
You know, I had I got my mojo set for a live show because I experienced some live theater here in West South Florida on Saturday because I went to an amazing, amazing piece. It was Madagascar at the Broadway Palm Theater, which, by the way, is a wonderful little building if we ever...
Were you scoping it? You like the specs of it?
Well, I think it would work well because it depends. I don't know if they have a liquor license. Kind of a prerequisite for our crowd.
Understood.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But it was Madagascar, the children's theater.
Was it based on the cartoon, the Madagascar cartoon?
No, it was based on just the country.
Okay, well, I didn't
no, of
know
course it was based on the cartoon. It's children's theater.
Who played the lemurs?
Yeah,
the lemurs were all. It was a here's what happened. The last time I went, I think it was Curious George. Is what I
remember.
I went to see.
Yeah,
you remember me talking about Curious George?
You
that I wanted
it.
To put a knitting needle in my eye because it was just
a pervert in a yellow trench coat.
I don't want to diminish what these wonderful people do because children enjoy it, but I got the distinct impression and from what they said on stage that this was a local production.
Oh.
This one from Madagascar was a whole nada level.
A traveling company?
It was a traveling company, and they were tight. The choreography tight. The performances were fine. It was just about a flat hour with a little Q&A asked by the kids, and
that's
great.
Magnificent.
What did kids ask?
Tight. Oh boy. What's your favorite food?
Oh,
that's a great kid question.
Of the actors, they ask the giraffe, "What's your favorite food?" And they all go down the. And I was like, I was so engaged with the theatrical presentation that my kid loved that I really wanted to say, where are y'all from? And I'm like, no, don't. And I said to myself, my inner government was having a conversation going, no, dad, don't be that dad. Don't be that douche dad, because you're going to get a look at from all the adults in there. But I was kind of curious because the level of performance was pretty good. And
you got the road company, Mike. You got the road company of Madagascar.
It was. And they were, there's always, by the way, when you go to these shows, these local shows, there is always a Rob. There's been a Rob at every local theatrical presentation I have ever seen. There is always a Rob. The Rob in this one played a penguin. He played, because so you couldn't see his Rob face,
right?
But you could see his Rob shape.
Oh, okay.
And he was up there. And then I
so
think
like
Rob played
Spiewak
like
a type,
an
is
emperor
what you're saying.
Penguin. Yeah.
There's one scene in there where they do. They do a stake number for the lion, and all the zookeepers come out with little cardboard stakes.
Scott Shannon's there.
Steak. And it's kind of a sexy little choreography number where it's like, you like steak, and they're holding it. And there are three women that are in it. One who probably, could use a little time working on the choreography. Oh. Two women who had almost like Broadway style moves. They really were, they moved well. And then there's the fourth. Who's a Rob doing the dance number? And I pictured you in theater arts if they required you to do something physical.
Yeah, it wasn't so much physical. Any sort of choreography, Mike, was sort of
Were you challenged by choreography?
I remember this. I had a pretty sizable role in My Fair Lady, and the only dancing that I was really called upon to do is in the Embassy Waltz, and it's a waltz. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and the closer we got to showtime, the further back our director moved us on the stage, because it was like a big, big scene, and she's saying, all right, this and this, and Rob and Gretchen, let's put you upstage left.
How do you feel upstage about Cleveland? Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, but choreography, not my strong suit.
But these kids that do this, they're doing the Lord's work, because the little ones totally engaged by this this program. And I said, it doesn't matter. Theater is theater. Being on stage is being on stage. And I got kind of invigorated about the fact that we're going to be doing it in less than a week's time. I'm very, very excited.
I seem to remember that Curious George was a dinner theater type presentation. Was there food served at Madagascar?
Yes. And we have to be, because I've been counting calories for a bit, I have to be aware of that. And of course, I'm sitting straight across from the gulag henchman of the calorie counting industry. Yes. I said, I'll look at her and I'll have this little plate of lettuce with some taco meat on top. I said, so what do you figure this for? That's 10,000 calories. it's like, thanks, Carla. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate all the help with that. But no, because there are two things that happen in this. We go into this and I'm watching, I'm counting calories the old fashioned way, doing that. But I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, man, this is just, I could devour all this crappy cafeteria style food that they sell, because they have tacos and they have chicken fingers and they have french fries and they have like big bowls of ketchup, where you get to scoop the ketchup out and you just say, it's all this crappy food that I could eat it until I ketchup, sat in the chair and just went,
bulk ketchup much cheaper than the packets.
Yeah, and then, of course, at the end, this generic sheet chocolate cake that comes
out. Just horrible.
That's the only place that we got there a little late, and then after we were done, Michael wanted his chocolate cake, and they did kind of bone us on that one.
Mm.
They kind of boned us on that. They didn't. Once they put it away, once they put that chocolate cake back in the kitchen, they shut it down, and no one can get it. Let me open it again. Otherwise, he'll wig out. He wasn't able to get his chocolate cake, and he's been under the weather a little bit.
How'd he take
it? We told him we'd go to Krispy Kreme and get him a donut, and then when we drove out of the theater and got up to the main drag, Krispy Kreme, with another five block around the block deal where they're waiting to get their donuts, it's still hot down here. The people that are still like, gotta go to Krispy Kreme. Yeah. How long do you think? You're the Krispy Kreme expert. How long do you think it'll take for the novelty of the Krispy Kreme store to wear off?
Was the line,
it's not 3 o'clock on a Saturday and they're literally a mile down
they
the
have,
road.
Did they have the hot donuts now sign on?
They probably did.
Okay.
They probably did.
So that is a pretty strong calling card for the duration of the franchise. However, I believe in 6 months.
It's been open like 2 weeks.
I see it in 6 months being handleable.
oh, we're not going to get it for Christmas. That's okay. I can live with that. It'll be
fun. You've had it before, though, right?
Phone ahead and find out when the donut sign is coming on and be there when it comes on.
You could probably order it to go.
Don't be the rube that waits for it to come on and then says, I'm going
Mike,
now.
Get Uber Eats.
Yes.
Yeah. It was Carla, the my inspector general of calories, I'd say, how much is one of these little Krispy Kreme donuts? 40,000 calories. 40,000 calories. So anyway, we have to take a break. When we come back, it's news you may not need, everybody. We'll be back in a minute.
Political Persuasions.
Hey, it's Chris Freitz with Political Persuasions. This week, Mike and I talk about the pipe bombs delivered to President Trump's political opponents. Will it be a Democratic wave or a ripple in just 12 days? We break down the numbers. And the president loves talking on his iPhone, and the Russians and the Chinese love listening. Why is the president of the United States talking on an unsecured line? Tune in, find out.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone. A message from Cornerstone First Financial. Interest rates are currently sitting at an 8-year high, and the chances of them going up again, 10 out of 10. You can bet on it.
Yep.
Can on it. So don't wait until it's too late to refinance. To consolidate debt, shorten a loan term, remove your PMI, do a home improvement, or even get approved for a new purchase, the holidays will be here before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you act now, you'll be able to skip your December payment. That's a stocking stuffer that anyone would love. Plus, it's their gift to you. Cornerstone will pay for your appraisal until the end of 2018. That's a $525 value. Ho, ho, ho to that. They guarantee to meet or beat any competitor. Some restrictions apply. So if you're in the market for a refi or a new mortgage, do yourself a favor. Call one of Cornerstone's licensed loan officers or loan officers and let them discuss your specific situation and options. All credit types are considered, and they are Oscar Santana approved. Woo! Click their banner on our website. Visit cornerstonefirst.com or call them 202-625-1221 and tell Tater we said hello. That's a little dog they have.
Great
running
dog,
around.
Yeah.
The whole building on Wisconsin Avenue, just everybody's
friendly.
Got a mascot.
Dog
everybody's
friendly.
Got a dog.
Hey, the whole building's gone to the dogs, huh?
I sure want to talk about that. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Can we talk about that tomorrow?
Well, we can
your dog?
We can talk about anything.
Good. I didn't know whether
you
were
going to
see it.
If you
want
to tip your hand, why don't you just give it all away?
Sorry about that. Anyway, tell Tater we said hello. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing.
News.
We can see your crack. Crack.
What, Mike? What?
Back drop.
Your back crack.
Over your left. Better.
Better. Thank you.
All I want for Christmas is a new camera, a new camera, a new camera. Kanye West has really gone all in on his new politics. He even designed a line of clothing to encourage black people to leave the Democratic Party. It's called Blexit, as in black exit.
Oh, like Brexit in England, but it's Blexit. That's
you got
clever.
It.
That's very clever.
It's a play on Brexit, the slogan used to urge British to leave the European Union. Kanye's Blexit shirts and hats debuted this weekend at the Young Black Leadership Summit, a meeting organized by black conservative commentator Candace Owens. She told the crowd, quote, Blexit is a renaissance, and I am blessed to say that this logo, these colors, were created by my dear friend and fellow superhero, Kanye West.
That's
fellow
great.
Superhero?
Well,
that's
that means
nice
that not only is he a superhero,
but she considers herself a superhero.
That must be great to be a superhero. How fun that must be. Mm. Yes.
He has taken one of the boldest steps in America to open a conversation we have needed to have. So there's that. The Simpsons and creator Matt Groening.
It's filthy rich.
G-R-O-E-N-A. I think it's the most difficult famous last name.
But I believe it is pronounced Groening. Matt Groening.
Groening. I know it's Groening. I'm doing some shit here. Matt Groening. They haven't seemed bothered by the controversy over their supposedly racist portrayal of Apu, but maybe they're going to do something about it after all. A Hollywood producer named Adi Shankar recently held a contest to find the perfect script to handle the situation. He chose a winner, and he hoped that The Simpsons would consider turning it into an episode. Well, that apparently won't be happening, not because the show doesn't seem interested in the idea, but because they're apparently dumping the character of Apu.
Ooh. Wow.
Shankar said, quote, "I got some disheartening news back that I've verified from multiple sources. They're going to drop the Apu character altogether. They aren't going to make a big deal out of it or anything like that. They'll drop him just to avoid the controversy." He added that he thinks that's a mistake, and so does Hari Kondabalu, who made the 2017 documentary "The Problem with Apu," which started this whole thing. So they're going to just
this sucks on many levels.
It does.
There's also a gentleman or a family that opened up a Quickie Mart, like a real life one.
Yeah,
and right. They're dropping the character that runs the Quickie Mart.
Oh, so that's sort of throwing good money after bad for that family.
Well, yeah. These two individuals said they would rather have the show confront and correct the problem than just dump Apu. Shankar said the show is cowardly for just dropping Apu. There's no official response from the show. They're such a socially conscious show, I'm surprised they're not doing
it. Yeah,
it
is cowardly to pretend it never existed. And considering the fact that on, what is it, FXX, they go weeks where all they show is old episodes of The Simpsons. They're not going to edit it out. So it's not like it. Yeah, they should address it.
I think, especially if you got their writers to punch it up, I think it might be not only a good show and good for the issue, but it would be funny too. So
yeah.
That's too bad. Speaking of television, over the past several years, HBO has kind of got... Shut up, Frankie! Sorry about that. Over the past several years, HBO has kind of become the channel with all sex.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they're leading the way in making sure that no issues pop up while they're filming all that sex, and this is a job that you can audition for. They're now using intimacy coordinators on all their shows. The intimacy coordinator's job is to make sure everybody's cool with everything that goes into a particular sex scene. And that nothing inappropriate happens while the cameras are rolling. What's that? I think you just ought to call the job what it is. Boner watcher.
Yeah. The BW.
That's really all it
is. It's the BW. Yeah. We need to have a word with you, Mr. Cannavale.
Wouldn't it be funny, Bobby Cannavale?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't help it. It got out of the bar. It got out of the bar.
You gotta try off.
And a record executive, Bobby Cannavale. That is a perfect pull. I'm Bobby Cannavale. I can't help it's this big.
Hey.
Gotta towel
Bobby Cannavale, hopping out of the shower. Oh, Bobby Cannavale.
They don't have the show Dice anymore, so we can't do that.
So the intimacy coordinator comes up to me and she says,
"Hey, then what you gonna do, Bobby? Bobby, look at your big old Woody."
The intimacy coordinator. Hickory dickory dock.
Don't you think, Mike, that we could have used a little of that in A Star Is Born?
Oh, yeah, let me tell you, Dice Clay. Dice in A Star Is Born is worth the...
He's
fantastic.
He is great.
Anybody got a nomination for it? The intimacy coordinator's job is to make sure everybody's cool with everything that goes into a particular sex scene and that nothing inappropriate happens with the cameras rolling. The idea actually came from Emily Mead, who plays a prostitute on The Deuce. She says, quote, "When it comes to sexuality, which is one of the most vulnerable things for all humans, men and women, there's really no system. There's never been a person required to be there to protect and bring expertise." I think, listen, on a serious note, I think if you're an actress, I somehow just projected on actresses in a scene like that, I would think it would be terrific for that. And for, you know, if you happen to be a studly male who might be, if you're uncomfortable and you've got somebody there that you can go, "Excuse me, he's taking it a little too seriously," then the intimacy coordinator, I'm sure their job is to, you know, back off, pal.
Do you think that the
tougher Jonah Hill, I want you to calm down, please.
However, a tougher job on The Deuce than, say, Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
Right. Miss Theron has indicated that she's not comfortable with you climbing on her like Mount Everest.
He's doing fine.
Mr. Cannavale, we don't need your input here. Well, he's just having a little fun. If you were climbing on that, wouldn't you be?
Hey, I just happened to over here. I was over there taping a special.
Bobby,
I'm over
Cannavale,
here now.
Yeah. Hey. All I'm doing is watching from the doorway. And the intimacy coordinator says,
"Mr. Cannavale,
Anyway,
Mr. Cottarelli, please put the binoculars down.
Is it bad that Halloween is always on October 31st, no matter what, or do you care? It sometimes feels odd, especially on a year like this where it's on a Wednesday. I don't care. I think in the middle, it's Halloween.
I don't care.
It would be so much better for kids and adults if we were celebrating it on a weekend. It's not that kind of holiday.
Well, two weekends, Mike. Kids get two weekends now.
That's right.
There's a petition on change.org right now where people are calling on people, the powers that be, to give Halloween a floating day. No! They want it always to be the last Saturday in October.
People are always going to observe it on the last Saturday in October anyway. So why bother? Well,
that would make Halloween more like Labor Day, which is always the first Monday of September, regardless of the date, and less like Independence Day, which is always on July 4th. Oh, enough. So far, more than 25,000 people have signed the petition. Serious business. Halloween has been celebrated on the last day of October, dating back at least 2,000 years. Don't change it.
Don't change it!
This is, again, adults. Want to celebrate it that way.
But they do anyways. This past weekend, and it'll happen again this coming weekend.
It's true.
Exactly. And I thought Jimmy was a good ringmaster. And now another Halloween-type thing. Reese's peanut butter cups aren't necessarily a good part of a healthy diet. You know that. Hershey's knows that. Their answer, though, slightly smaller Reese's peanut butter cups.
Boo!
Calm down, Rob. Hershey's just announced they're going to start selling a new version of Reese's Cups in March that are 40% thinner than the current ones. Hmm. So that means less chocolate, less peanut butter, and by definition, fewer calories and less sugar. There's no word on exactly how much healthier they'll be, but if we reduce the numbers on a current Reese's Cup by 40%, you drop from 110 calories to 66. 6.5 grams of fat to 3.9, and 11 grams of sugar to 6.6. Yes, but counterpoint, Mr. Spiewak. Please.
This sucks, and first of all, I'll lead with the strongest thing, is you're just going to eat more of them because, you know, there's 40% less. But consider this.
Self-control.
It's going to mess with the peanut butter chocolate ratio.
Oh,
which
here
is,
we go.
Which is why your Hershey's, your Reese's eggs at Easter time and the Christmas trees at Christmas time are a better treat because there is more peanut butter to chocolate. The ratio changes. If you contract the size, you're going to actually be reducing this amount of peanut butter, which makes me think it's a cost-cutting move. F you, Hershey's.
That's Rob Spiewak, ladies and gentlemen. Send letters to him.
All about now, ratios.
A little something. Thank you for that, Rob.
He's a ratio guy.
I'm pretty sure when this guy was picturing having a threesome, this isn't how it went.
Oh, the beer game?
He's a 31-year-old guy. His name is Stephen Naughton.
Hey, Naughton!
Hey, Naughton, you know that you want me to... Stephen Naughton from Hanahan, South Carolina. And last week, he and another guy were having a threesome with a 26-year-old woman named Cameo Louise Luca.
Hey!
Well, Cameo was high on meth and heroin and starting to pass out. At one point, Stephen tried to end the threesome and asked her to leave. Well, that made her, Cameo, angry.
Mm.
And she tried to bite off his private parts. The cops came and Cameo, quote, barked, growled, and hissed at them. And they wound up having to tase her so they could take her to the hospital. Stephen went to a different hospital to get treatment for his bite.
Yes, of course.
So far, the cops have not arrested Cameo, but she could be facing aggravated assault charges. No word on the name of the third guy in the threesome. We'll just call him Lucky. How about that? Okay. He's in a bar somewhere. She bit him right in the balls. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, this is internet sensation Toddy Abeje. Do you stare at your computer all day? Well,
yes.
At least it's better than staring at Santana Moss. Face it, you're addicted.
At least.
So, if you're staring at your computer anyway, you might as well be staring at the Mike O'Mara Show YouTube page. Just go
to
youtube.com/Mike O'Mara Show and click the bell to subscribe to our page. Now, you can see Mike make fun of Rob's big head or laugh at Oscar while he gets his head shaved. So hit up the TMOS YouTube page and watch all of the episodes that your computer-loving mind desires. Or just throw your computer out the window. Because if you're not watching us on YouTube, you're not using your computer for the right things anyway. Thank you.
Yes, Toddy. Thank you, Toddy. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our Holiday Shopping Center. The time to start your holiday shopping is now, and it's easier than ever thanks to
the TMOS Holiday Shopping Center. Your holy trinity of retail bargains. Featuring Macy's.com, Target.com, and Walmart.com. Here's the best part. When you access these sites through our portal, you're supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. That's fun and smart. And great deals right now. Oh, you won't believe the deals. Plenty of free parking, no lines. Just make sure to access Macy's, Target, and Walmart through their banners on our website. You can't miss them. So if you need it, buy it right now by clicking through at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It costs you nothing, means the world to us. Macy's, Target, Walmart, they're all there on our website. The only way to shop. Now go spend money. And without further, thank you. Thank you very much.
Had there one left.
Yes, that's good. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Monday, Oct 29, 2018, Rob Spiewak.
We touched on it at the front of the show, but congratulations again to your Boston Red Sox. I wanted to play this because I know you love the manager, Alex Cora. And here he is talking about the winning season. What a good guy.
What a season. From day one in spring training, they've been very consistent as far as preparation, going about the business, and what a way to end it. I can't even imagine what is going on in Boston. I can't even imagine what is going on in my island. I think they're going as crazy as Puerto Rico right now. I mean, this is for you guys. Congratulations.
Good for you, Alex.
I love that. And also,
represent.
Does it harm it at all for you? Does it taint it at all for you that they did not win it in Boston, that they won it in Los Angeles?
No, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Man, wherever you win it, you win it.
They'll have themselves a parade, right? Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. You said, if you don't worry about, I'd like to do it in front of the fans. No, it doesn't. It's irrelevant.
That's the fans.
Their job is to go out as a fan. You're out there going, your job is to win, win, win. Remember when we had tickets for, what, game six? Didn't we have tickets for game six? For the Caps, I was happy as a pig in poo that they were able to win that.
In
Vegas. I would have loved to be
Vegas.
I would have loved to be in D.C. to watch that, but c'est la vie. They won. That's what matters.
All right, let's turn our focus to high schoolers. And there was a high school in Davis, California. You know, we have a good listenership in Northern California.
Oh, lots of fans out in Davis.
This story was trending where a young lady brought in cookies to hand out, but did not tell people while she was handing them out until after the fact that she had incorporated human ashes into the cookies. Ooh. And they actually electronically have altered the name, the voice of this school official. So if he sounds like he has a low Larry Michael-like voice, it's because it's been altered. But yes, people
did. Why did they alter the school official's voice?
Because he did not want to be identified. But here is the story of the human ash cookies.
This girl is going around, like, telling everyone, basically, at this point, that she had brought these cookies to school
with
human
education.
Ashes in them. She's giving them to people. And
stop it. Pause it for
weird.
A second, okay? Yeah. So this is a school official that's talking about somebody that behaved badly. There's absolutely no reason for the school official to disguise his voice, he's an idiot. That's what it is.
He didn't want anyone to know that he used the word Broughton.
Broughton. She had Broughton.
She had Broughton.
It blew my mind. And I was really repulsed. And I was, upset that, I wasn't even notified.
So that's the case. Be careful when people offer you cookies in Northern California. They may have ashes in them.
NorCal, nothing but NorCal. We'll see a lot of those folks out there in Las Vegas. Very exciting.
Yeah. Now, other side of the coin, here's something positive. This is Arundel High School in Maryland. This was trending nationally yesterday on YouTube. A guy named Jackson Dean. He's a football player. He actually stepped up to the microphone in his football uniform and pads to perform the national anthem. Check out how great this kid is.
Pause it for a second. Yeah. What's with the dual track?
I think he actually has running an effect on his microphone to give him a double voice sound. But it is him just playing the guitar. Nah. But he was looking for a recording contract. And I thought it was pretty cool to get up there.
I think the audience likes it. Rob, they're not reacting to it. They didn't like the playing with the voice.
Doesn't the auto-tune...
It's not auto-tune, it's doubling.
Well, either way, isn't that tainted?
No, not really.
No?
Mike?
I didn't like it. You like it, Flav?
Yeah, boy!
Flav liked it. I don't know what's going on.
Now, do you know who the first person to get Rickrolled was? You know, when you Rickroll, when you send someone to a link or something and they have to watch Rick Astley sing Never Gonna Give You Up?
Oh, somebody did that to me once. It was so, you know what I said after that?
Come on, Todd.
Oh, Todd
come
did it again. All right. So, apparently the first person to hate Rick Astley singing Never Gonna Give You Up was actually when they were shooting the video, because they showed up to film it. This is Rick Astley telling the story. He had to sing it over and over and over again, and a guy opened his window and yelled at him.
Basically, I turned up with a bunch of clothes in a bag. I literally, you know, they're all my clothes. It wasn't styled. It wasn't that was an accident. It wasn't, you know, premeditated or anything. And there was a guy, actually, when we recorded, doing nights, as we call it here, working through the night, yeah. And he just kept shouting out of his window, "Will you shut that?" Is this really meant to happen on your video? But yeah, so it was kind of a bit unprepared. Yeah.
And what I found fascinating about the interview is that Rick Astley did provide his own clothes. Because remember, there was like a sailor look.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the big overcoat he wore, the big trench coat, was stolen by a fan. So he no longer has his big Rick Astley trench coat. So that's the story of Never Gonna Give You Up. And I don't know that I would be able to survive with a toddler nowadays with stuff like Alexa, where a kid could just go up and tell it to do something, because God knows how many times I watch Dora or all that stuff. If it was at the kid's disposal, it'd drive me nuts. This is what we'll close with. This is a little girl who wants to hear a hot song right now. It's called Baby Shark, but she doesn't have great diction. So she's yelling at Alexa to try to play Baby Shark, and she's not succeeding.
Alexa, play Baby Shark.
Baby chair. Explicit isn't included with Prime, but is available with Amazon.
Alexa, play Baby Shark.
Sure, baby. Hold back by Say Anything on Amazon Music.
Alexa! Alexa! Play Baby Shark.
Here's a sample of Baby Shark by Johnny Only on Amazon Music.
Good. That's what she wanted, right?
The mother helps out here.
Alexa, play Baby Shark. Baby Shark by Pink Floyd, starting now.
Finally.
On Amazon Music.
So, if nothing is going to make that kid work on diction, it's the fact that if Alexa can't understand you, you're in trouble. That is your magic audio ball. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. If you have a message for Tuesday's mailbag, send it to Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. We'll do that tomorrow.
Yes.
Our mailing address, TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Remember, voting the engine of freedom and democracy. It is next week. Some people, like yours truly, have already voted.
Woo!
Remember, it requires your participation. Please remember to register and vote. It does matter. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Today's episode of the Mike O'Mara Show has been brought to you by Back to the 80s, the world's greatest comedy murder mystery show. It's a hilarious 1980s themed mystery starring Justin Schlegel, Robin Joe, plus Mike, Rob, and Oscar from the Mike O'Mara Show. Select audience members get to play parts in the show, and everyone gets to guess who the murderer is. Saturday, November 3rd at 7 p.m. in the Zappos Council Chambers Theater in Las Vegas, Nevada. For tickets, click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com. Back to the 80s. Drink, laugh, solve a murder.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Okay. Come on.
Ooh, that's a bingo.